Well, good morning and bless your hearts. We're here. Happy Hearts Day to everyone. I know some people may not have a Valentine at this particular time, but you have a heart and it should be a happy one. So we wish you Happy Hearts Day. So let's take our Bibles and go to Romans chapter 12. We're continuing in our topic of let's see the new you for 2016. And we looked at what I believe is the great motivation for change, and that is the goodness of God leads a man to repentance, leads a man to change. Not because our minds are pained or because we're ashamed of where we've been, but because we are so encouraged to live virtuously. That's our desire. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or logical service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The word renewing means to new upward. Anakinos, ana means up, and kinos is your mind, the organ of mental perception. By the renewing of your mind, by the scriptures, you can prove what is that good. And the word good means harmonious perfection, worthy of honor. And acceptable. Acceptable means to be well-pleasing, and we all would like to be well-pleasing in everything that we do, and most especially for God. And it is a perfect will of God, and the word perfect means complete, wanting for nothing. Then everything that is in the scriptures will make our lives complete and wanting for nothing. That's why we want to new our minds up to the scriptures, because remember, God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so we want to new up. We want to get our thoughts up to the level of his thoughts, because he is so loving and so gracious to us. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, we talked about this verse, and I want to read it to you again from the New English Translation. And in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, it says, For I know what I have planned for you, says the Lord. I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you. I have plans to give you a future full of hope, to do you good and not evil. Isn't that beautiful? So why not bring our minds up to the level of God's word? Because it's a wonderful plan for us, a plan that will prosper us, and it won't do us any harm, and it'll give us a future full of hope. And it will do good and not evil. Beautiful. John 3:16 tells us, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The word gave comes from the Greek word didomai. And that word carries in its essence and in its translation a love of honor. For a love of honor. That's a beautiful thing. The next area we want to change is in regard to finances, or perhaps how we think about prosperity. And remember, the principle is to change how we think. If we do that, we can change our hearts. We can have a change of heart. And if we change our hearts, we will change what we believe. And if we change what we believe, we will change the outcome or the results we have in our lives. Now, as I shared last week, I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking, because if we were going by positive thinking, then that would be occurring and the change would be occurring because the power resides in your mind and in what you think. But the power that I'm talking about is the power that comes from the Word of God. Remember when God said, "Let there be light," what happened? There was light. I mean, it did things, it moved things. So it's not just our thinking and our positive thinking. That's nice. It's nice to be positive. But it is the positives of the Word, and that's why previous to that I taught on faith-based confessions, that we confess the Word, we speak the Word, we think the Word. What I am talking about in this classification of the renewed mind, changing what we think to the Word of God, which is, and show what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God is, it's much bigger than the power of positive thinking. It's the power that is in the Word of God believed. So that's where we want to go. Being positive, for instance, about the lottery won't win you the lottery. Don't waste your life on smiling daydreams. What I would do with all of that money. Don't waste your thoughts on vanity. You know, you think, oh, if I won $1 million, oh, $100 million, I would give my kids da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, vanity. Your kids will survive whether you... What they need is your love, they need your understanding, they need your heart, and they need to know God, most of all. They need to know a loving Father. I've met millionaires who are not happy people. I would give the ministry, da-da-da-da-da-da, vanity. God will take care of the ministry if you just do what he says. All we need to do is just be obedient to what he says. Do what he says, because he has plans for us, not to do us evil, but to do us good. He has plans for us to prosper. You don't need to win the lottery. You already have, so to speak. You've confessed Jesus as your Lord, and you've believed that God hath raised him from the dead. You have eternal life, and you have a knowledge and an understanding of God's word, which will profit you far greater than any lottery. Just do what God says. Walk in his love. What the ministry needs is your love and your loving response to God and his word, because he has already provided for us, not your response to winning the lottery. So I make a big donation. Well, the ministry doesn't need a big donation from the lottery. What we need is your response to God's love, your response to God's word in the ministry. Because if we go by positive thinking, and again, it's good that you think positive, but what positives are you going to think? Growing up, I was told and believed from various sources, if you wanted to be successful, you need to grow up in such and such a community. You need to attend such and such a school, and you need to know so and so. Well, growing up, I didn't live in that community. I didn't go to that school, and I didn't know so and so. So, you know what? I lived as an unsuccessful person. Was I positive about the community I was in? Yes. Was I positive about the school I went to? Somewhat. And was I positive with who I knew? Yes. I was very happy with all of those, but in the terms of life, I was unsuccessful in life and dissatisfied, and as many people do, blame society for my woes. Then there is that old saying, you are what you eat. And I did not have a good mental diet. I devoured a lot of books. I read a lot of things. I was very much, by the time I was a senior in high school, I had read all of these power positive thinking books. I had read everything on capitalism and all of these different things. But I was dissatisfied because I thought I was not prosperous, and I was not prosperous because I was dissatisfied with my thinking. Was I positive? Yes, but those positives did not bring me where I really wanted to go when everything was all said and done. I'd like to go to Jeremiah chapter 15 in the Old Testament. When they were rebuilding the temple during Jeremiah's time, they were doing remodeling and restructuring and cleaning up and taking care of different things. And in one area, as they were tearing down a wall, they found the scriptures sealed within the wall. And Jeremiah found them, or when they were found, they brought them to Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16, Jeremiah says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. And here's the reason why. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." Well, that's something to rejoice about, to know that you were called by God. What an exciting and wonderful truth. He ate the scriptures, meaning he digested what was in them. And when he digested what was in them, he saw the greatness of the children of Israel being called of God, leading them out of darkness and bringing them into light and instruction. He led them out of Egypt and he brought them into the promised land. He provided for them abundantly. They went in and had fields that they hadn't even planted. They had plenty of food. When they left Egypt, they took all of the wealth of Egypt with them. They had all of these different things. And he realized that he was called by that very same God. And he, when he read through the scriptures, he read the records in the Old Testament. He read the records of Joseph and the promotions that he received. He read the records of Moses. He read the records all the way through and how God kept delivering God's people. He read the records from David and other of the kings and so forth. And when he read them, he realized how great a calling God had done and how wonderful that so many times where they had gotten into trouble, it was God that brought them out and delivered them and prospered them beyond their imaginations and made them fruitful and abound. And when he read those things, when he read those positives and digested them that God was speaking about him and the people he was with, it was the joy and rejoicing of his heart. He read the great purpose for life as a believer. He ate and digested the context of what he was reading, and it nourished his mind and it provided strength and vitality to his heart. His heart began to believe those things that he was reading, of which God had given a testimony of his life and calling, and it began to change the outcome of his life. I sort of found the same thing when I was reading all these ways that I would be prosperous and could not find them. Then I came to the scriptures and I began to read them. And when I digested them, it changed not only my thinking, but how I thought. And how I thought changed my heart. I had a different heart toward God. I had a different heart toward the Bible. I had a different heart to, quote-unquote, toward religion. And when my heart changed, And my believing changed. What I believe changed. I changed from believing books on power of positive thinking. I changed my thinking from my heart from trusting in what man had to say and going through all the troubles and woes of man. I changed my heart, and when my heart changed, it changed what I believed about life and how to pursue life and where the real true prosperity in life was. And it changed the outcome of my life and began to make great changes for me. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, let's go there. This great record written by Moses. And in verse 18, and if you read the previous verses, it tells you the things that God did for the children of Israel, taking them out of their troubles and providing for them wonderfully and abundantly. But in verse 18, it says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he might establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day." I began to realize when I started reading the Bible that prosperity is spiritual in nature. I was thinking it had to do with where you worked. I was thinking it had to do with how much you made. I was thinking it had to do with how much you were educated. But then I would go into the army, and there I was in the army, and the guy next to me had a master's degree in physical metallurgy, and we were both in the infantry at that particular time. And I thought, gosh, here I am running with a guy who's got a master's degree, and actually he's running with me because I'm the one that should be in this position. He should be doing something else. But we went with the way that man thought. But it says, God, the Lord God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. I saw that prosperity was spiritual. I thought I needed to be a more business-minded man, but I realized that I needed to be a more spiritually-minded man. So I did not want to develop I changed from developing myself as a business-minded man, and what I needed was to become a spiritually-minded man, and that changed my heart toward prosperity, changed what I believed about money and other things, both with my work and the ministry, and it's really set me free. There are people who have lots of money and the riches of this world, and there are people who are satisfied with God's provision for them. The words wealth here, give thee the power to get wealth, it means to have a good way. Now, to have a good way obviously is going to have wealth or have money, that's part of it. But it is also the other parts like virtue and those things which are honorable and those things that make for peace and those things that bring peace to your heart and strength to your life. Proverbs chapter 3, let's go there. In Proverbs chapter 3, and I'll get there in a minute. Verse 9, it says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. We have had, even in our Christian church and among the believers, wrong thinking concerning tithing, bountiful sowing, abundant sharing, charitable giving, all these different things. Many people think you've got to give to get. That is not a principle from the Word. That is a principle of the world, investments, and those kinds of things. We ought to come to the place that we understand that God has blessed us, and therefore we are honoring Him because He has already blessed us. You're not in some, you know, a tithe was not to be God's tax against the people. God doesn't need taxes. Governments do. God has already blessed us, and our heart response to His blessing is we want to honor Him. And how do we honor Him? Well, He says it very simple. With the substance, with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. So thy barns shall be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst forth with new wine. honoring God because He is so good. It doesn't need a motivation like, if you don't give, you're not going to get. We didn't give a blessed thing, and yet God so loved, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What did you give to get Jesus Christ? All we did was give Him our sins and our wrong thinking. See, there's just so much. 1 Timothy 6:10 tells us that it's the love of money that is the root of all evil. That doesn't mean money is wrong. It is the love of money that is wrong. Money is neither moral or immoral. It's what you do with it that makes it either moral or immoral. It's good food for thought. How you use it. Well, we should be spiritually minded men and women and use it in a proper way. You know, in Deuteronomy, that word wealth, I meant to mention this, that word wealth means riches, virtue, valor, and strength. It's everything that you would need to make an army. It's everything that would be required. It is, you know, when we think of army, we generally think of fighting, but there's a lot more to getting an army. First of all, an army has to be paid, so you have to have some money, right? Then your army needs to be taught virtue. Your army then needs to be taught valor. Your army needs to be taught how to be strong. Your army needs to be taught how to be disciplined personally. Now, you know, I was in the army and there was a lot of disciplining of us. But once you caught on, you learned the disciplines. I have brought for you, and we'll have it as a part of the download today on the teaching, but I did an article for Faith Writers called For a Love of Honor, based on the teaching I did on the love of honor, that I wanted to give each of you a copy of, and you can read it through. But the real truth behind prosperity and behind giving is out of a love of honor. That you so love God and the things of God that your heart takes you to the place that you want to help and assist with the things of God, with the church of God, the way He has set it up. That we want to make a moral provision for the things of God so that the word, other people can be fed, so to speak. That they can hear the word. They can partake of it just like Jeremiah, and they can digest it so that it changes how they think concerning the words of God. And it will change their heart, and it will change the way they believe concerning God and concerning the things of God. And it will change the outcome of their life, and they will enjoy great success. I wanted to show you this record, and we'll close with that in Matthew chapter 6. It's kind of a longer chapter, but I did want to read this to you because there are some things in it that are written in terms of the biblical culture, and it will help you understand some greater truths. And in verse 19, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, it says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." The word treasures is the Greek word thesaurus, a book of words or ideas, terms. And lay up for yourselves, what it's talking about is your thought life. The Eastern people, the biblical people, considered their thoughts to be their treasure, their great treasure. We find value many times in thoughts. Someone says something so succinctly, you say, "I want to remember that. That really communicated to me a great truth or a great principle, and I identify with that, and I want to keep." They considered the greatest treasures that they could have was their thoughts. And in their culture, they did have money, but if you were a nomadic people, it's hard to drag money with you wherever you go. So they considered their thought life to be their great treasure. And he's saying, don't make to yourself a treasure from earthly things. Don't lay up treasures for yourself from the earth or in terms of what man has to say, men's colloquialisms, all the different things that man is involved with. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven is where you want to do it. Because the treasures on earth, it says, where moth and rust doth corrupt. Generally, if you read through the Bible, many times one of the things that they were paid with were with clothing, raiment, bolts of cloth and things like that. And they were valuable to have when you traveled. You know, you could take that kind of stuff with you a lot easier than you could take big bags of money. Especially, like I say, if you were a nomadic people and you were constantly moving, then your clothes tend to wear out and you'd be able to do it. But what happens to cloth? Well, moths eat cloth. They corrupt. And if your whole life is centered around that, then what's going to happen? Well, everything that prospered you is going to eventually disappear or become unuseful. That's what he's telling them. And where thieves break through and steal. In their culture, when they did carry money, they would dig a hole, put it down in the ground. You know, when they were going to stay someplace for a period of time, they would dig a hole, and especially in the desert, they would dig a hole, put the money in the ground, and cover it with dirt and then put their tent over it, because if you put it in different places, a lot of times the desert looks the same all over the place, and you may forget where exactly did we bury that thing. But other people know that your money is buried underneath your tent, so a robber can come through, cut through your tent, and get to the center of your tent and dig straight down, and he's got your money. You know, while you're out tending the flock or you're doing something else away from your tent. Verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. Don't let your mind be content in material things, where fears and worries bring defeat and doubts and break through and steal your thoughts. Let your thoughts be centered in spiritual matters, where neither fear nor worry breeds. A lot of times they use moth and rust as euphemisms for worry and fears and so forth. For where your treasure is, and here's an important point, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And if your heart is in earthly things, then your believing is going to be emanating from earthly things. And the outcome of your life will be in earthly things. You'll go the way of the world. Then he goes into this. The light of the body is the eye. The body is used as your spiritual under or your life. And the word light, of course, means spiritual understanding. And the eye is the center of that spiritual understanding. So he's saying the light of your life is the eye, your spiritual understanding. Therefore, if thine eye be single, if it's perfect, if it's focused on one thing, your whole life shall be full of light. But if thine eye, if your spiritual understanding be evil, then your whole life shall be full of darkness. And if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is thy darkness? And we see it so much in our culture. People's focus are get into some of these evil things and trying to be acceptable and trying to be tolerant and all of these different words and things that we say that sound very nice. What they do is allow evil into your life, and the confusion between light and darkness grows day by day. And after a while, people begin to talk about darkness as light. Oh, you know, it's okay for people to riot in the streets and kill some guy who's going home from work on a train, and a woman with her child, or somebody else with a bus, because you are discontent with the way perhaps you think your religion is being treated. So you put on a bomb and you go on a bus and you kill off all these people. And they say, well, you know, we don't have the weapons like the army does. Well, then go and blow yourself up at the army. Why are you getting on a bus with some guy who's coming home from work that doesn't even, you know, has no qualm with you whatsoever? But, you know, we look at it and we say, well, yeah, I can see that would be okay. How if the light in you be darkness, how dark is it? And we start to get our minds confused, because even gray is still the absence of light. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The word mammon is the riches of the world. And the riches of the world are a cruel master. They will oppress you. They will chain you. And they will constantly have you in slavery trying to obtain the wealth that they promise and the riches that they promise. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you're going to eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you're going to put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not. You don't see a group of birds going out and sowing a field and saying, oh, when we fly back next summer, oh man, we're going to eat like kings. No. They just fly. And somebody, God, sees to it that they're fed, doesn't he? Neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Aren't you better than a bird? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? I know, because I always wanted to be taller. And no matter how much I thought, I could not grow an inch. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow and toil, neither do they spin. You don't see them at a, what do they call it?
Spinning wheel.
Spinning wheel, yeah. You don't see them out there manufacturing stuff so that they can look beautiful. They just look beautiful. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought. And the words take no thought means don't get anxious. God will see to it you're taken care of. Remember, he is the one that gave you power to get wealth. He is the one that has made the promise, I will supply all your needs according to my riches in glory, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? I know I say that to my wife when I come home sometimes. What are we eating tonight? It's a little bit different than that. Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his virtues, his greatness. Seek that out and respond to it out of a love of honor. Because he so loved you, he honors you. And all these things shall be added unto you. They shall be added to you. Take therefore no thought, or don't be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So it's a great understanding. God does supply us and will supply us, and because he is so gracious to us, as gracious, more gracious than the lilies of the field, more gracious than the birds of the sky that we admire their beauty and everything about it, we ought to honor him with the first fruits of our giving simply because he so loved us and he so bountifully supplied us. We want to see that his word continues to grow and develop. So that's what I wanted to share with you. And I did have one question for you, and the question is, what is the first commandment with promise? Ephesians tells us it's honor thy father and mother. It's the first commandment with promise. We ought to honor our heavenly Father. And if we desire our children to honor us, let's raise them up in God's wonderful word and make them prosperous. God bless you.